Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be sharing a word with you today. The Lord's actually been stirring this word in my heart since the fast. So I hope you're ready. And I hope I'm ready to communicate it well. I want to start by reading our theme scripture for the year. But I want to kind of share a backstory that's maybe a little funny to you. We were reading when Pastor Tim told the staff that we were going to be doing More Than Conquerors as the theme for the year. We were reading Romans 8 in staff meeting, and we got to the part where it said, knowing all these things were more than conquerors. And the person who was reading it was just kind of like, knowing all these things were more than conquerors through him, because we were just kind of in a serious moment, and I was like, wait a minute. So I stopped in the middle of the thing, and I was like, I think God wants us to say that a little differently. I think he wants us to say, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So that's where that whole thing came from that we've been doing through this series. So I'm excited to lead you in this scripture today so that we can do the no in all these things. So would you just say this one with me in Romans 8:37? No. All right, do a little better than that. This is the last time. Come on. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. We're more than conquerors. So I want to preach to you today about conquering unbelief. Today, we're going to believe for the unbelievable in our lives. And I want to share a little bit of a story. I realized the other day, I was talking to a lady in our church, and I was telling her a little bit about my family history and my family background and the heritage that I came from. And I realized that I don't think very many people in the church know about my family and the ministry that was before. So, Darnell, if you don't mind putting some of these pictures up. That right there is my grandfather, Efford Amaker, and his wife. And the little boy in the front is my dad and his brother in the back. And in the 1950s, he was a tent evangelist. And for those of you who are younger, you might not even remember or know about what that was. But in the 50s and probably even earlier, pastors and evangelists would go throughout the U.S., and they would set up a tent on the dirt. They would set up a wooden stage. I don't even know if they had a PA system. I wasn't around, but I don't think they even had, like, microphones or anything. And they preached revival, and they experienced healings and miracles and signs and wonders. And so my grandfather did that in the 50s. Put the other pic. Oh, you already did that. Okay. I want to just kind of, so I have these. This is really cool. I have these original little, I guess you would call it a bulletin that he had printed when he was doing his ministry. And I put some of the pages up here. Holy Ghost, anointed preacher of the word of God, promised to deliver from sin, sickness, and filled with the Holy Ghost. So look at these pictures. They had Pentecostal worship, salvations, healings. Keep going to the next one. People were healed. You can read these. This is the one I want to highlight. Cataract disappeared after prayer. I can't see them in the back. Weeping eyes for 52-year duration healed. Crossed eyes straightened, impaired healing healed, healed of deafness, deaf right ear, hearing restored, the lame shall leap, lame 15 years miraculously healed, paralyzed from the waist down, leaves the wheelchair, unable to walk, walking today. And then you can just see some more pictures over here. Healed of extreme high blood pressure. Healed of sinus trouble. Cancer. Cancer falls off of face. Healing of arthritis, heart condition, leg ailment healed. Spastic colon healed, heart trouble healed, arthritis healed. So that's my granddad. And I remember a specific time in my life when I was just a little kid. I don't remember much about this, but my parents tell me the story. I was 3 years old probably, and I had been experiencing nonstop ear infections. Couldn't get rid of them. And so the doctor was like, we're going to have to put tubes in her ears. That's a very common thing. My kids have actually had tubes before. And my parents were like, well, okay. So they go to my grandfather. They're telling him about it. We tried everything. You know, we've gone to the doctor. We've done antibiotics. And we just can't seem to, we're just going to have to do the tubes. And my grandfather was like, well, have you laid hands on her and prayed for her? And they said, well, you know what? We have prayed, but I don't know if we've actually laid hands on her and prayed for her. And so he stuck his fingers in both of my ears and just began to pray over me. And as he did, the fluid poured out of my ears, and I never had a single ear infection after that. Praise God. Can you give God praise for the miracles? I'm going to get a little emotional because, so I was sharing all this with this lady, and I even gave her the pamphlets and let her read them, and she came to me and she said, you know, I feel like the Lord is telling me that you are supposed to step into your grandfather's anointing, and so if you will bear with me today, I'm stepping into that right now. So the Bible is full of unbelievable stories. If you've read it from front to back, or if you've even read some of them, or if you were in Sunday school and they used to do the little stories and tell you the different things, it's full of unbelievable stories. I'm just going to highlight a few for a minute. The parting of the Red Sea in Exodus 14. The Israelites had the Egyptian army after them, and they had the Red Sea in front of them. And what did God do? He parted it. And they walked on dry land. That's unbelievable. But God did it. Jericho walls fall with only marching, trumpets, and a shout in Joshua 6. Dry bones come to life in Ezekiel 37. Peter walks on water in Matthew 14, 22 through 23. Lazarus is raised from the dead in John 11. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into a fiery furnace, and they come out untouched, unburned. They didn't even smell like smoke in Daniel 3. The Bible's full of these stories, and I believe that God wants to do some unbelievable things in Life Church. He wants to stir our faith this morning to believe for the unbelievable. So I want to set up the story in Mark chapter 9, 22 through 24. I was actually going to tell you to turn there earlier, and I forgot. So if you're turning in your Bible, I'll give you a second, and I'm going to set it up. A desperate father brings his son, who's suffering from severe seizures, to Jesus. And after the disciples tried to lay hands on him, nothing happened. So the father's desperate. And Jesus sees that, and he says, bring the boy to me. And this is where I want to read today. Mark 9, 22 through 24. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. This is the father speaking. And Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. And this is the part I want to talk about today. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So I don't want you to feel ashamed if you have unbelief, because we all deal with that. Even a father in the Bible that they highlight is dealing with the unbelief. But I want to talk about it today. So what the Father's saying, in other words, maybe in today's terms, is, God, I trust you, but my anxiety is louder than my faith today. God, I believe you can, but I've been disappointed before. How many can relate? God, I want to believe fully, but fear keeps interrupting. And here's the good news. Jesus didn't wait for the Father's fear to disappear before he acted. He doesn't tell him to calm down or try harder or come back when your faith is better or when your faith is stronger. Jesus meets him in the middle of belief and unbelief. The prayer that some of us need to pray today isn't, Lord, I have it all together. But Lord, I believe, but please help the part of me that's unbelieving. So I want to talk to you today about how to conquer unbelief. The Father gives us a great example in this first part when he says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So number one, we have to confess it. Confess the unbelief. The Father said, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. The Father didn't hide his doubt. He confessed it. Unbelief loses power when it's exposed in the presence of Christ. God is not intimidated by honest faith struggle. He's not intimidated when we say, Lord, I'm intimidated. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling. He's not intimidated by that. You cannot conquer what you conceal. Don't suppress it. Confess it. Faith grows when honest confession meets Jesus. I want to read a scripture in 2 Corinthians 12:9. God is speaking to Paul and he says, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast or confess, right? Speak it out, boast, confess, all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul was boasting. He was confessing about it because he knew that if he got it out there, if he just said it, if he just confessed it, that God's power would step in and help with the part of his weakness, help with the unbelief. In Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God. So in the scripture, David didn't deny fear. He sought God in his fear. Faith isn't the absence of fear. It's bringing our fears to God, confessing them, so that he can help us overcome. Unbelief concealed is strengthened. So when we hide it and when we keep it inside, it strengthens the unbelief. But unbelief confessed is conquered through Jesus. Name the unbelief and make room for God to move on your behalf. So number one, we confess the unbelief. And then number two, we consume the truth of God's word. In Romans 10:17, Carrie, if you want to go ahead and make your way up here. In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Unbelief grows when truth is absent. Faith grows in exposure to the truth of God's word. You can't starve your spirit and expect strong faith. We have to feed our spirit with the word of God. Jesus defeated doubt and temptation with the words, "It is written." Let's look at Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus replied with, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written." Now the devil's using those words too. "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered back with, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, so the devil just keeps on. He keeps coming back for more. The devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this will be yours," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended to him. When your feelings say one thing, anchor yourself in the word of God and what God is speaking. And Carrie has been a part of prayer, our Wednesday night prayer, from the beginning, since he first got here. He and his wife, Yolanda, have come. And one Wednesday night, he was just sharing a part of his testimony that really touched me, and I felt like that it goes really perfectly here. And so I asked him to come share about that.
Good morning. My name is Kerry Collins. What I did, I just made a little dot with an ink pen in the palm of my hand. A lot of y'all can't see this. That's the size of a mustard seed. But you know who sees that mustard seed? The miracle worker, the change breaker, the healer, Jehovah Rapha. About 3.5 years ago, I was getting up in the middle of the night 7 or 8 times going to the bathroom. So finally my wife told me, you know, you need to go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor, our personal physician. They prescribed me some Flomax, did some blood work, a urine sample, and told me give it a couple of weeks. Well, my PSA score had went up to like 3.5. So she told me to come back in. I came back in, gave blood work. This time it was going up to 5.5. So she said, we're going to send you to a urologist over in Homewood. So I went there. Dr. Dugan did the same thing. He said, give this Flomax time to work here. We're going to take blood, urine sample. Well, at that time, it went up to 7.5. Went back in, did another urine sample. This time, about a week later, me and my wife was on our way to church. It was Wednesday night at 6:15. I get a call on my phone. And it was a personal cell phone, and it was Dr. Dugan. He said, "Kerry, your PSA score has gone up to 9.5. He said, "I'm 99% sure you have prostate cancer." Sure. He said, "What I want you to do, my assistant's going to call you, and you're going to come in, and I'm going to do a biopsy." He said, "I'm going to prescribe you one Valium, get someone to drive you." I said, "Okay." I hung up the phone. I mean, it seemed like the air came out of my lungs. And my wife said, "Kerry, you know what to do." So we came to Bible study and praying. I heard God tell me clearly, I sent my word. So what I did, I came home, prayed over myself. I found this message that God wants you healed. I started listening to that message constantly. I made sure that the God in my heart wasn't blocking the miracle hand of God. I listened to that message. I went to sleep with it in my ear. I went in for that biopsy. He told me to take the Valium an hour before I got there. I did that. I went in. I could hear that machine inside my body. Pow, 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 pow. 12 times. He took 12 samples out of my body. And when he got finished, he looked. He said, "Kerry, my medical opinion, 4 of these are cancerous." He said, "Well, we're going to send it off." He said, "What I'm doing now is I'm going to see whether you're going to have surgery, radiation treatment, or chemo." Well, the nurse came in, and she gave me something to clean myself up. And then she handed me this sanitary napkin, and when she went out, I just dropped to the floor. I said, "Father." He spoke to me clearly. He said, "Give it to me." So at that moment, I gave it to God. We didn't hear anything for about a month. Finally, Dr. Dugan said, "The reason it took me so long to call you, Kerry," he said, "we thought something was wrong with our lab. We sent your samples off to the Mayo Clinic." He said, "I'm here to tell you, you are cancer-free. You are cancer-free." And so that's for you, Eddie. That is for you. That is for you. That is for you. He sees your mustard seed of faith. Give it to him. Amen.
I want to make sure you heard the part where he said he put headphones on at night and he was listening to the word. He was feeding himself with the word even when he was asleep because he wanted his spirit to hear the word, and God healed him. What you repeatedly hear will shape what you eventually believe, good or bad. You can't feed on fear and expect faith to grow. So replace the voice of fear with the voice of Scripture. So 1, confess unbelief. 2, consume the truth of God's word. And then 3, call to mind what God has already done. I want some guys to come move my next illustration in for me, please. You've been asked to help with that. So God wants us, in order to stir our faith, we have to remember the things that God has already done in our lives. I want to read a scripture to you real quick in Joshua. But I'll set it up. After God parted the Jordan for the Israelites to walk across with the Ark of the Covenant on dry land, and Pastor Tim actually preached on this a few weeks ago, if you remember. I think it was the last time he preached. He talked about them walking on the dry land. But after the Lord instructed Joshua to tell 12 men representing the 12 tribes to collect one stone each, 12 stones in all, so they would remember the miracle that God had done. So let's read it in Joshua. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off because the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them, and they took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they, is that it? And they're still there to this day, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's right. Woo. So I believe in order to activate and stir our faith to believe, it really helps to remember things that God has done in our past. So I felt like the Lord was saying to us today that he wants us to set up memorial stones in our lives. He wants us to remember the times that he gave provision. I remember the time when I didn't have provision and God provided. Hopefully these will stay. I didn't practice. He wants to remember, Carrie, the time that God healed him. Healed. He wants us to remember the time that God brought restoration. He wants us to write it on that memory stone as a memorial. He wants us to remember the time that he brought protection. Come on. Somebody can relate. He wants us to remember that time that God opened a door that we thought was shut. Come on. He wants us to remember the time when God gave us peace, when we had strong anxiety. He wants us to remember the time that God gave us deliverance from our enemies. He wants us to remember the time that God gave us strength. Oh, well. Strength in our weaknesses. He wants us to remember the time that God sustained. He wants us to remember the time that God was faithful. He wants us to remember the time that God brought breakthrough. I need an extra hand. I see why Pastor Tim likes that handheld thing today. And then he wants us to remember the time that we were victorious because of God. Some of you are in the middle of the trenches, and you can't see where your victory is coming from next. And God is saying, set up these memory stones. I want you to remember the past victories, the past promises that have been fulfilled in your life to stir your faith. In Psalm 77, 1 through 12, this is Asaph speaking here. And he said, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in despair, I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject me forever? Can people relate here? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? This is real. He's just being real with us today. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember the miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. So I believe Asaph here is in that same dilemma that the father was in the story at the beginning. In the moment that he's in right there, he doesn't really see what's going to come on the other side. He feels defeated. But how does he practice belief? How does he practice stirring his faith? He remembers. He sets up those memory stones to remember the faithfulness of God. He fought discouragement by rehearsing God's past faithfulness. Can we do that today? Asaph models exactly what we're talking about today. And he calls to mind what God has already done. He moves from, God, have you forgotten me, to, I will remember. We sang this song today. I just want to sing a little line of it. Let's sing it together. I remember how you provided, how you held me through the night. And I remember how you sustained me when you stepped in to save my life. If I knew then what I know now, then I would be still and let you work it out. Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You were always on time. Jesus, when I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. You were always on time. Amen. He's always on time. So number one was confess the struggle, confess the unbelief. Number two, consume the truth of God's word. Number three, call to mind what God has already done. And sometimes this is the hard one. Commit to obedience. In James 2:17, it says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is what? So faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Action activates belief. Obedience builds confidence and faith in God. I want to share a story with you out of Naaman, or out of 2 Kings 5, about a man named Naaman. I don't know if you've ever heard this story before. So Naaman was a powerful commander of the Syrian army. He was kind of a big wig. He was a big deal in his time. He was respected. He was honored. He was successful. He was a cool guy. But he had leprosy. So a young Israelite servant girl told Naaman's wife about the prophet Elisha. She said, I know this prophet, and I think he can speak to Naaman and give him some insight on this. So Naaman decided to go to Israel and see this prophet Elisha. Well, he didn't get what he expected. So he thought, you know, there would be some dramatic thing, but Elisha did not even come out to greet him. Because he had leprosy, he was like, I'm not going out there. So he sent a message to Naaman, and he said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and you will be healed. Well, there's 2 things I want you to know about in this story. One, the Jordan River is nasty. It's muddy. It's gross. It's not like the crystal clear Florida beach water that we're used to swimming in. It's murky, muddy water. And I actually, Pastor Tim and Pastor John, I don't know if you saw the video on Facebook, but they were at the Jordan River this week. And so I asked him to send me some pictures of the Jordan River. That's not clean water. That water looks pretty gross. Go to the next one. I think there was two. Yeah. So that's one thing I want you to know. But then the second thing, when you had leprosy, you had sores, like, all over your body. So I don't blame him, but Naaman was mad. Naaman was offended by this. First of all, he wanted the prophet to come out there to him, and he also thought, man, I got to dip in that nasty water with leprosy. That's gross. No way. And the instructions just felt too simple. So I'm just going to, there's plenty of rivers around here, and I got to go to the Jordan. Okay. The river seemed dirty. The process didn't match his expectations. In anger, he was just going to leave. He wasn't even going to go to the Jordan. But his servant said, if the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? Why not do this simple thing? So Naaman humbled himself. And he dipped in the Jordan once. Well, that didn't do anything. Now I got all this dirty water all over me. He dipped in the water twice. Three times. Four times. Nothing happened. Five times. Still nothing. I just don't know if this prophet Elisha really knew what he was talking about. Six times, still nothing. And then he dipped down in the Jordan River the seventh time, and he came up with skin. His flesh was restored like that of a child. I think that's a powerful story about obedience. His healing came on the other side of his obedience. Obedience is often simple, but it's rarely comfortable. I bet that was not comfortable for him. Naaman didn't struggle with belief that God could heal him. He struggled obeying the way God wanted to heal him. And that's where we live sometimes. We want a big miracle, some dramatic encounter with the Lord, some impressive, elaborate, five-page instructions on what we have to do and, you know, detailed all this stuff. And sometimes it's just a simple thing. Go to the Jordan, dip seven times. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. But God wants us to obey. Often God gives us simple things like forgive, apologize, stay planted, serve quietly, pray again, and as Naaman experienced, dip again. The miracle wasn't just in the Jordan River. The miracle was also in the obedience. Naaman's healing was not activated by his position, because he was a pretty important guy, or his status or emotions. It was activated by what? Your breakthrough may just be waiting on that seventh dip in the Jordan River. Don't let pride block what obedience can unlock. Partial obedience won't produce full healing. I'm going to say that one again. Partial obedience won't produce full healing. The instructions you're offended by may be the answer you prayed for. It was for Naaman. So I want to encourage you today, step out even while you're still sorting it out. Sometimes we don't always understand what God is doing, but when he says step out, even if you don't have all the plan together. What's God telling you to do? Do the last thing that God told you to do. Y'all know I like to sing, so I got one more song. You might not know this one. I was surprised. I sang it in staff meeting one day, and Vanessa didn't know it. So,
when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He shed on our way.
Good.
While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Do it again. I think I sang that wrong.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I'm glad y'all knew that one. Good. I want to close with this. If the musicians will go ahead and the worship team will go ahead and make your way up here. There's some of you in this room, you love God. You're saved, you worship, you serve, you're committed. But there's an area in your life where unbelief has quietly been sitting on the throne. Look at me for a minute. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror. God does not want us to walk around having doubts and fears and unbelief, because we are more than conquerors through Him. He wants to set us up for success. He doesn't want to see us fail and walk around miserable. So today He's calling you to conquer your unbelief by confessing the struggle, feeding on the truth of God's word, remembering, setting up memory stones and remembering what God has already done, and committing to obedience. Faith is not pretending you don't struggle. God knows what's up here. He knows what we're thinking and what we're feeling. Faith is bringing your struggles to Jesus just like the Father did and saying, Lord, I believe, but would you help me with my unbelief? And Jesus didn't reject him, I'm so thankful. He responded to him. And his little boy, I don't think I said this part, the little boy was healed. His son was completely healed, even with the father's unbelief. So you have two pieces of paper on your chair. The ushers have extras if you need them. I want you to take the small piece of paper and I want you to write down, they're going to sing in just a minute and that'll give you some time to think. But I want you to write down the thing that you're believing God for, but you're struggling like the Father was with the unbelief. It might be multiple things. This sheet, you might have to turn it over and write on the back. That's fine. But I want you to write that down. And then the second thing I want you to do is set up memorial stones. Write down. You might not have 12, and that's okay. As you remember them, put them on here. I know some of you in here probably like to journal. You can write these in your journal. You don't have to write them on this piece of paper. But I want you to write down 12 things that God has already done. Memorial stones to remember the faithfulness of God. And when you start feeling discouraged, I want you to pull that thing out. And I want you to remember what God has done for you so that you can have faith to believe for the things that you need now. They're going to sing, and I want you just to take a moment, think about it, take a few moments, and write down the unbelief. I want us to make a corporate declaration tonight. Today, not tonight. To close us out. Would you just say this after me? Father God, today I bring my whole heart. I believe, but I surrender my unbelief. Where doubt has tried to settle, faith will rise. Where fear has whispered lies, truth will speak louder. I will not be ruled by what I see. I will not be moved by what I feel. I will stand on what you say.
I will stand on what you say.
God, your promises are yes and amen. Your word is final. Your power is greater than my problem. Disappointment will not define me. Delay will not discourage me. Silence will not shake me. I choose faith over fear. I choose trust over doubt. I choose obedience over hesitation. Unbelief will not win in my mind, in my heart, or shape my future. I am anchored in truth. I am strengthened by the Spirit. I am confident in Christ. Today I believe again. Today I trust again. And today I hope again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and give them some praise today. Come on, don't stop.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just want to end by just kind of closing us out and reminding us, unbelief confessed is unbelief weakened. So we confess it. Truth consumed is faith strengthened. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past and unbelief is conquered. Obedience chosen is breakthrough activated.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.